Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. Because we all need a reminder of where we're going. When I say that, there's nobody that's going to get here alive. Now, if Jesus come back and he raptures us, I guess that's as much as if you believe. In other words, if it happens exactly like some people believe it's going to happen and we are raptured out, well, hey, that's fine. But if not, we are going to be DRT. You ever heard that? Dead right there. That's what we called it in the police department. 10-7, out of service. You cease to breathe. Dead. Everybody knows that. That's kind of the universal sign, isn't it? There's all kind of different things that they do to say, hey, they're dead, they're gone, they're history. See, message is finish the race. Now, when you think about being dead, we see the world see that as finality. It is the end. But us, as followers of Christ, no different. It's not the end. As a matter of fact, don't ever forget that when you look at someone, no matter if they're born again follower of Jesus Christ or lost is lost, when you look at a person's body and they are no longer there, I will promise you they are more alive than they've ever been in their life. They are more alive, and they're more alive in a spiritual sense too, because there is what that indwelleth us? A soul, that's right, that will never die. That baby's smart. We have a soul that will never die. There are even people who are not believers who say that this spirit realm, there's something that happens when a person dies. Well, I'll tell you what that is. The spirit departs the body. And that's the difference in us and animals, is we contain a spirit that God gave each and every one of us. And tonight, though, what we're going to look at is the fact that this race that we're in is one of the differentiating factors between us and the lost person. We've got to recognize, though, that we're in the race, because you and I cannot run a race that we don't believe or recognize that we're in. Amen? If you believe that getting saved means that you just stand there and you're a billboard for Christ, you have missed the whole entire thing. If you believe that as a follower of Christ, the disciples should have sat on the beach and set up a stand telling people about Jesus, you're wrong. Jesus doesn't need another billboard. He doesn't need another hat. He doesn't need another bumper sticker. You know what he needs? Followers. Because that is what regenerate people that are born again, followers of Jesus Christ, they follow Christ. That's the difference in obedience versus disobedience, and actually life versus death spiritually. Spiritual life should be followed by obedience, because what does the Bible say? If you love me, keep my commandments. What does he also talk about? When you hear the word, also be doers, because if not, you deceive yourself and the truth is not in you. So whether you and I like what God's word says, what the truth of God's word says, I heard pastors right now that are having a lot of trouble with people coming back to church because they say, not, I'm worried about COVID, I'm trying to keep my family safe. No, they said, you know what? We've really grown to like sitting down as a family on our couch watching TV online. Why, sure, wouldn't that be nice to sit in your underwear or whatever it is, your long johns or your pajamas, and sit down on your couch together and you have church? Wouldn't that be wonderful? But is that what God's word says to do? No, as a matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says what? Do not forsake the assembling as some are in the manner of doing. It already spoke to that all those years ago. But stir one another on to love and good deeds as we see the day approaching, the day of the Lord. We are called to be together. God created us relational. Oh, I'm one of those people that likes to be a loner. Well, guess what? You are acting in contradictory terms with what God created you and I to be. We are relational people. We were created to fellowship. We were created to spend time together. And you're actually deceiving yourself if you try to say, well, I'm one of those people that is a loner. I don't need people. You have deceived yourself. And by the way, you'll fail
if you put yourself in that position, because God created you to be in accountability. He created you to be in relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ and grow in our walk with Christ. Really important thing to do. It's good to see our ladies in our Bible study. Please remember, by the way, I have a woman who wrote a Bible study, who writes curriculum on it, is offered to do one for us. Please remember to mention it to me. Going to drive over an hour each way to do it. So, start ADD. It's going to happen. You just have to bear with me. Just keep tracking with me. Stay on the main road. If I get off on the side one, just hang on. I'll get right back to it. I hope you found 2 Timothy chapter 4. Again, we're going to look at verse 7 and 8 tonight. Again, I have a message titled, Finish the Race. And tonight, we're just going to basically reflect on the blessing of what our brother in Christ experienced this afternoon. If you are physically able, let's stand out of reverence tonight for the reading of God's Word. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is reserved for me in the future the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only me, but all those who have loved his appearing. Father, thank you again for your word tonight. God, speak to our hearts as only you can. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 7 again, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I've kept the faith. By the way, if you die and you have your family, ask me, so interesting because our brother asked me at his mother's funeral, if he said, you know, I want you to do my funeral one day, and said, please do it just like you did hers. But if you ever ask your family to ask me, I want you to understand something. Not only am I not going to get up there and blow a bunch of sunshine about you, and I'm not going to sit up there and say how amazing you were and how awesome and incredible and wonderful and just bloviate and be a pomp and jay and a picnic about all these different things and your personal attributes. I'll mention some of them. By the way, you're preaching your funeral now. Please do it effectively. There is not a man standing in front of you by God's grace. I'm not going to lie about you, and I'm not going to lie for you. If there's no spiritual life in you, I can preach it just as powerfully as I could a person who's sold out to Christ. Because guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn the needle to Christ and the finished work of salvation through Jesus, and we're just going to kind of put you over on the back burner. Please, please, live your obituary so if your family asks me to do it, I will not be in spiritual agony over not having seen the footprints of Christ in your life. I will, with everything, pray that you're in the presence of the Lord. But if you have absolutely no spiritual life in you, it's very difficult. And it actually, it grieves my soul when I have to deal with things like that. I want to be able to stand up there and with full assurance have watched Christ Jesus use you in a mighty way and watch you yield to his plans, his purposes. And I want to be there rejoicing, just like I did at Mr. James's. So just feels like it was just a month ago. I guess it's been two, hadn't it? That's what I want to do, though. I want that to be a time of rejoicing. So please do whatever it is tonight needs to be done so that you can get on track with making sure that your obituary, your legacy, your life song is being lived out so that day I can stand up and trumpet the truth about who you were. But tonight in verse 7 there, we think about this race. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. What race? Well, we know what the Bible talks about, right? It's a race we're in. We're in a race. Did everybody who gets in the race win the prize? Thank you. There's people that start going, oh man, this is nice. It's just like the gym membership said, Eddie, on January 1st, everybody's got one. 2 weeks later, the gym makes a bunch of money. Because about 90% of those people, they give up, they fall out. Now, what they can do? They can sit in their car, go down two large pizzas and say, oh no, I got a gym membership. Are they a member? They might be in name, but they're not one. They might have it to make them feel better about what they believe they're going to do one day. Because remember, we're always going to start doing what we need to do when? Tomorrow. Just like when you go into the nice seafood restaurant that says, free all-you-can-eat shrimp tomorrow. Guess what happens when you come back the next day? Free all-you-can-eat shrimp tomorrow. Never changes. But spiritually, first thing I want to share with you comes from that verse. Are you in the race? Are you in the race? Truly, are you in the race? Listen, I want you to know something. The majority of people that die don't know they're going to die on the day that they die. Do you know that? They don't. The majority of people don't get that incredible experience of laying down there next to your children and your grandchildren and being able to bless them and lay there as you slowly drift off into eternity. It doesn't really happen much like that. Actually, it's usually quite sudden. With many people, you wake up in the morning, men especially, right? And you go, oh, plop. You wake up in the middle of the night, oh, my head, plop. You wake up in bed, oh, my abdomen, blah. And it takes you by surprise. Or you start walking down the hallway and you go, I don't feel so well. Major stroke. The next thing you know, your spouse finds you the next morning laying in the hallway, dead. How much time did you have to sit and have that nice long experience of the swan song of, I'll see you on the other side? Not a lot of people get that. Not a lot of people do. I know 2 days ago, Jimmy didn't know he'd be in the Lord's presence at a little past noon on Wednesday, December 16th of 2020. It was not something that he believed was going to be the reality of his life just 2 days ago, 48 hours ago. He talked to his wife. But see, we're not promised anything. I'll tell you, actually, we are promised. I'm sorry. We're promised the uncertainty of never knowing and never being promised 5 minutes from right now. We don't have it. Why do you think it gets me so excited when I see what we saw on Sunday when Sherry stood up here and professed her newfound faith in Jesus Christ? You know why? Because do you know what percentage of people that when you get out of teenage and young adult years that ever come to faith in Christ, what that drops to? It's almost non-existent. You know why it makes me rejoice? Because I know that she has allowed Christ Jesus to dispel the enemy's lie. And she allowed the humility of saying, I know things aren't right and I want them right. I don't care what you all think about it. I care about Jesus. That's what gets me excited, because you know what happens? I want to tell you one thing, man. Satan uses, hey, you know those little paddles with the ball on it, you know, with the string? Do you know how many people sit in pews and we're so prideful? We're so worried about what everybody thinks and what everybody might say. Oh, I better not get up. You know, I know things aren't right. Oh, and it's not, I know, I remember when Granny walked me down the aisle. I'll never forget that. Yep, I remember when Granny and I prayed that prayer and I got baptized. I know. But why do I just keep feeling like it's not what it should be, and I don't feel like it's right, and I keep feeling this feeling, and I'm overwhelmed in my spirit that this is not right, and why am I still battling this? No one comes to Father unless the Holy Spirit enables him. Why would you in your heart of hearts believe that things are not right? Oh, I bet that's just the devil making me want to get saved. Is that right? I bet he's just making me think that things aren't right. Please understand what that very thought says. Do you believe the devil's going to convict you and make you feel like you're not saved? No way, Jose. Why? Because there's an opportunity that you're going to get from point A to point B through Jesus Christ with a genuine work of God. But I'll tell you what he'll do. Ain't nothing wrong with you. You're fine. Everything's... They're going to all laugh at you if you get up. They're going to say, how in the world? Look, you're a Christian. Don't get up. There's nothing wrong. You've got indigestion. Everything's fine. Just chill. You better learn to hear those two voices for what they are. The convicting power of the Lord draws us to himself. We have that ability to say, oh, no, I'm fine. No, I remember. Me and Billy went down. Me and Sister Susie, whatever, whoever. and whatever. I remember we got down there. I was scared to death. I remember. That's the kicker right there. I was scared to death. You were scared to death of what? You were scared to death knowing you were a broken, sinful, unregenerate, depraved, born in sin that came to faith in Jesus Christ? Or were you just scared to go to hell? Because I just would tell you right now, if you walked up an aisle because you were scared you'd go to hell, let me ask you, what were you being saved from? Did you recognize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and recognize what Jesus Christ and the gift of salvation was for? Or were you saying a statement of words, not based on the brokenness and depravity of your heart, recognizing the chasm that had created this separation? Because many times the emotional experience, remember how many I had? I had a bunch of them, but I never knew Christ. Because until a person knows that they are lost, how can you ask the Savior of mankind to pull you out of something that you don't even recognize you're in? Amen? That's where we got to be careful. That's where you and I always hear me say, you can't sell Jesus short. This is not some Amway scam that you're trying to sell them the benefits of what it's going to be like to be at level diamond or whatever the thing is they had back then. Everybody in the country tried to get me to be an Amway salesman when I was about 17. But they were selling this thing off in the distance. They were trying to sell me on something. See, salvation is not selling you a get-out-of-hell-free card. It's selling you the redemptive work of salvation, the forgiveness that Jesus Christ gives us, the byproduct which is to be reunited with God and to avert going to a place as hell. But that's not the main motivator, church. It's because life doesn't work apart from God. Life has no fulfillment apart from the work of Jesus, the filling of the Holy Spirit. The byproduct is, oh, wow, I'm not going to spend my eternity separated from God. Think about that. We don't look at it as, I'm not going to hell now. No, I'm going to spend my eternity with my Father. Praise God. Oh, you mean you're not going to hell? That I didn't thought about it. That's a byproduct. The primary focus is restoring what sin broke. I'll never forget that. I never even thought about the hell part. When I came to faith in Christ, that the genuine, the real time when I recognized my sin nature, it was the wildest thing in the world. That was the last thought in my mind was anything about hell. I wanted nothing more than to fellowship with my Father in heaven and to know my created purpose. Such a huge difference. And that's the difference in being in a race versus in love with the title of the race. Love with the thought of what the race represents. Having never then gotten into the race. Verse 8. Now there is reserved for me in the future a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but all those who have longed for his appearing. Here we are, number 2, I want to share with you tonight. There is no crown of righteousness for someone who is not in the race. That's a big one, church. This is the reason I say about so important that you know what fruit is and you see the work of Christ. And when Paul says, examine yourselves to see that you're in the faith, I say it almost too much because you're going to get very comfortable hearing that, and that's dangerous. Some of the things that I say a lot, you've got to be very, very careful with, because Matthew chapter 7, when I say that a lot, and I reference Matthew chapter 25 a lot, and I reference Ephesians 3:20 a lot, and I reference Romans 8:28 a lot, and Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39 a lot, because what happens is it tends to become extremely comfortable. We tend to become almost numb. Those of you who've been here 13 years, you know what? It's real easy. You know how I know? This is what I'm going to tell you. I'm not faulting anybody. You know when I know that sometimes we get real comfortable? Because I'll have somebody come to me and say, wow, I was listening to radio the other day and they said this verse and it was just so powerful to me. And they say the verse and I'm going, I say that every week. I'm not going to say to you, guess you're not listening. No, I'm not here to do that. But it tells me, God's saying to me, you hear it every week, you get inoculated. Sometimes I've actually even said this. I actually have said it to a few people in the church. I've said, hey, do you think people are getting too used to the tone of my voice? Meaning, is there a time when I would realize at some point in my life that Longview has become numb to my voice? What would that mean? Whatever God would want it to mean. If that ever happened and I knew that happened, church, I'm going to be honest with you, I'd step down in 2 seconds. Because God forbid that this church became immune to my voice, having heard it so long that they were unable to go further in the direction of growth because of that. You see what I'm saying? We have to make sure that we keep our ears and our hearts open all the time, because it's so easy when day in and day out we hear the same thing. You know, I'll tell you right, ready? My phone has a lot of alarms in it. As a matter of fact, I always laugh at the doctors in the dentist office and all the different doctors that I have to go to. But I always say, they said, you need a card. I said, no, I put it in my brain. They always laugh. It is. It's my brain. But let me tell you what I have to do. I have to change up my alarms. You know why? Because I get immune to them. And I've had things that I have heard so many times, but there was a very important alarm. And guess what happened? I missed meetings. Important ones, because I'd become so immune to the sound that I no longer heard the thing warning me of something very important that was upcoming. Guess what? I was just hit with a reminder. I was supposed to go by the drugstore today. Had the alarm in there. It went off, but guess what? Went right in one ear and out the other. That's what, guess it's time to change it again, right? Amen. But that's what happens if we're not careful. The things of the Lord become so mundane. What did I say Sunday about never, never, ever getting comfortable, never getting complacent about watching ones like Sherry come up and they've given their lives to Christ because, you know, it's just another one. Got another one. Don't ever, ever see that as something that goes, well, yeah, it's just another one. No, you see that as the awesome work of God and the Holy Spirit working in hearts. And when you see these young ones that are growing spiritually and all these people in our church, so easy to go, you know, we're just so blessed, and not believe it here. Saying it here, but not believing it here. You walk over there on Sunday mornings, and if you're not able to go over there and go, God, you've been so good to us, and you continue to be. If you don't walk into that nursery and go, God, you are amazing. Look what you have continued to do. I just wish I had a video of Longview when I came here. And you could watch a Sunday morning at Longview Baptist. It took about 35 and a half seconds for the entire church to be empty, everything out, and the last car was pulling out of the parking lot. I'm serious. Don't ever forget where God's brought this body of Christ from. If I drop dead tomorrow, and you guys get, you better tell, listen, you better be on fire for Christ, because this church will eat you for, you better be in God's word. This church will eat you for lunch. That's what the pulpit committee better say to them. If you're not serious about the word, this body of Christ is serious about it. They'll eat you for lunch. Don't come in here and start pulling out some little funny, humorous illustration book to get people giggling on Sundays. I hope you guys would eat them for lunch. Meaning, why do I say this? I am by no means a John MacArthur. As a matter of fact, I've got some little water-weighting booties on compared to his preaching and teaching and many other pastors. My dad, if you were under my dad's teaching, listen, I'm not even joking. I'm not even ankle deep compared to my father's teaching. He's up here. That's the depth of what he preaches. But I know one thing. See, the God's word is the sole direction. That's the compass. That's the everything for this body of Christ. Why do I continue to push you to it? Because in essence, the services between 4th to 6th to 8th grade maximum is what we have to cover at this kind of range. That's what Billy Graham says, and every good, solid teacher, in the regular services you have to. Where does the growth happen? It's you getting in God's word and God growing you to a level that we could never do in 3 hours of preaching in a week. Never. It is about you getting jump-started spiritually in here, understanding what the part of this race is, your part in it, going home, not some Beth Moore, not some Tony Evans study, or whoever else. That's great if you do that apart from your soul-focused Bible reading, but you do that first. You let someone else's revelation from the Holy Spirit of God not be your primary input, because you are missing the boat if that happens. That is God that's spoken to them. That's not God speaking to you. So you, number one, you get in God's face. You get on your face before Dad, and you let Dad talk to you. Then you can go. Those are good things relationally, good things in direction, and all those different. God can use those. Don't let them become your primary source, or you have done a miscarriage of truth. And I'm telling you this. I'm saying this because I do not want you falling for the deceptions of the enemy. Getting you out of the race, or getting you way off somewhere where the race was going on this road. And the enemy, through something that looks so good, right? He masquerades an angel of light. It looks so good. She looks so good, young people. He looks so good. It looks so great. They said they're a Christian. That's to be so wonderful. They don't know their spiritual finger from their foot. Lost is last year's Easter egg, but because they said they're a Christian, you're bought at hook, line, and sinker. Got a barren thorn bush, and you're looking at it going, oh man, the fruit on that's gonna, it's amazing. Well, your spirit's not the place you need to be in the first place, because you weren't able to differentiate a thorn bush from a fruit tree. Why? Because you either haven't been challenged to spiritual growth, or you never were obedient to the challenge to spiritual growth that a pastor, teacher, mother, father, brother, sister has challenged you to do. And therefore, you fell victim to the quickest and easiest scams of all history, the Gibeonite deception. Oh, it looks so good. Looks like a duck, smells like a duck, quacks like a duck. Come on, let's do a nice little covenant there, friends. That marriage altar is the next day when the Israelites came up to the Gibeons campground. Oh my! Quack, quack! What a duck. They tasted the provisions, but what? Did not seek the Lord. Be bananas for Jesus. Be bananas for Jesus. You know why? It matters. Tonight, you go, well, I've been doing everything I should up until right now. I'm doing really good. You better start running harder than you've ever run in your life now. What do you mean? I'm about tired. You better run till you drop dead one day. Bible doesn't say anything about going to the place right before the finish line, chilling out, decompressing before you cross it. You know what the finish line is? Death. What does that say? How many Christians are in a cool-down period and they never crossed the finish line? You ever watch these numbskulls? They get real prideful in their run or whatever it is, or driving. Remember this? Hey, they get to the end and they think that everybody else is so far back, so they start, you know, playing around, doing a little dance or something, and then a guy runs by and wins it. Y'all ever seen that? It is hilarious. Or the person that's in a car and tries to do a little, does a little thing, they go around, they whack the thing, and they can't move, and somebody else ends up winning the race because their pride, they were trying to show everybody how cool they were and how wonderful. We often think in the tortoise and the hare, you know, that's just not a, that's not a representation of real life. Yes, it is. Pride cometh before a, take heed when you think you stand, lest you, don't look at somebody else's place in the race, their speed in the race, their position in the race, and do anything about, well, they're there, okay, I think I'm, don't. Let me just tell you what you do. Do what I did at Grace Baptist Church on Sunday mornings. It was actually on this side. They had a little place right there. They took a chair out, and I sat right there on Sunday mornings. I didn't look at the preacher, y'all. I go, oh, yeah, you want to see a good look at the, I actually, my wheelchair went like that, and I used to crank it up like that. And I looked at the cross, man, and I'm not even joking. When I sang with everything in me. If my arms went up, it went up. I did not care what anybody thought, and I told them if anybody ever asked me, I don't care what you think. I'm not singing to you. I don't care anything about what anybody thought about me because it didn't matter. I'm not worshiping you. I'm not serving you. I'm here to serve him, King Jesus. And that's what mattered. And when I'd be in there rolling my little wheelchair around, I'd go in and get coffee in the mornings before I went to our Sunday school class, but a men's class. Sometimes I'd go down the hallway and they'd want to stop and somebody would start talking. And I remember one time, some people started talking about church politics stuff. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I did? I excused myself about two words into it. I said, I've got to go. And I remember this is the stuff that ran me away from church when I was young, and I said, I'm not going to be a part of it. You know what I was able to do? I was able to go into church. I never had to worry about any of that stuff because I wouldn't let it be a part of who I was. That's the blessing. I don't hear that. Maybe y'all just don't tell me. But I don't have to hear that stuff here. Y'all know that I've created an atmosphere that stuff is not going to be a part of what we're doing. That's the reason and that's why I really want to get back to it, y'all, because it's so easy. We have people that go, I've seen those people. I don't even know them yet. Because we haven't been able to do our greeting time normally, it's broken my heart that we cannot hug and do what we're supposed to do. And I think right now it's smart not to. I'm trying to figure out a way if we can all wrap our heads in cellophane or something and maybe go up next to each other and bow or something. I want to do something, you know, and we'd have to do it quick enough that we didn't pass out before the oxygen got, you know, right? It'd be a really sight to see. But I think that's what makes us unique. It causes them to have to get here and them to go here and them. And what it does, it gets us in each other's zones because it doesn't matter what separates us. It wouldn't matter if it was race that separated us, financial, it doesn't matter. Because when we're here, what we are focusing on is what unites us. What unites us? Jesus. Jesus. That's what matters. It's this race that we're all involved in or should be. And we're challenging each other, and sometimes we have to lock arms with one who's struggling and is having a hard time, so we lock arms with them, and we pull them away. We run a couple days with them sometimes. Sometimes we see them sitting on the ground, and we have to get up and help them back up. Sometimes you see somebody running down a path, and Jude, what do? Snatch others from the fire, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh, as Jude says. Because that's what it's about, and they matter. That's what the race is about. I'll just tell you, let's look at it from a Marine Corps standpoint. No one's left behind. No one. No one's left behind. Meaning we've got to care about one another. No, we can't be the spiritual fruit initiator in their life. They've got to desire it, but if they desire to honor and glorify and serve Christ, we have got to make sure that there's no one left spiritually behind. We've got to pray for one another. We've got to pray with one another. We've got to pray for one another. We've got to make sure that we are speaking truth and love and peace into each other's lives. Yes, there's a time that sometimes we have to, in a sense, rebuke one another. We have to lovingly say, hey, I'm concerned about you. I haven't seen you. You don't talk anymore about the Bible like you used to. You used to come in and share with me what God was doing, and I haven't heard that lately. I know what's going to happen sometimes. You're going to say, get out of my business. If they say that, you remember that discipleship is a two-way road. There comes a time, I know this, that you have to let them go. When somebody tells you to take a flying leap, there comes a point where you have to say, I'm sorry. If you're ever ready for accountability again, I'm here for you, but I can't force you to want to be a relational relationship. I can't. It's not a monologue. Our relationships are dialogue. It's because we want them. We cannot force anyone to love Christ. We can't force anyone to want the true abundant life in Christ Jesus, can we? But I'll tell you what we can do. Those ones who want it, don't forget this. A lot of times we get caught wasting our time with someone who continually says, get away from me, I don't want anything to do with it, get away from me, get away. And we're just trying about 946 different angles and we're wasting all this energy and time on someone who is clearly telling you to take a flying leap. Let me tell you what to do after the third or fourth or fifth time. Shake the dust off your feet, because I want to promise you this. There are a minimum in your life right now, I promise you, and I'll help you find them if you don't know how to find them. There's at least 10 people in your life right now that will take the love, the concern, the growth, the prayer, the accountability, and the real relational. They'll actually, they're looking for it and don't know anybody that will do that with them. Jonathan Sims told me. He said, "Brother Jonathan, the enemy will come at you in threes. He'll get three rebellious people, three situations. He'll bind you up so that you're never able to do for this person over here. You're caught with, we are, ready? You're caught entertaining a goat when you got a sheep over here is bleating." We're not here to entertain goats. We're here to watch the sheep grow. Huh? You ever had a church and you get some just real problem, troublemaking, they just want to cause trouble. Just wanting to cause trouble. Just wanting to always cause trouble with people. Never have anything good to say about anybody. Never have any joy. Never have any peace. It's always, look what somebody didn't do for me. Nobody's preacher didn't wave at me in Walmart. If you know me, I was going so fast, I never probably saw him in the first place. And that's true. Nobody came out and saw me when I was gone for 2 weeks. Maybe had 15 texts, you didn't respond for anybody. What were you doing sitting there? Because why? It's all about you. I have pastor friends, y'all, they tell me about, I don't have this because y'all know me, I'd tell you right off the bat. If you want somebody to carry you across the finish line, I can't do it for you. I'll walk with you. I'll pray with you. I'll encourage you. But I can't carry you spiritually. You have to have the initial drive and the desire to serve Jesus Christ, or it's not going to work, brothers and sisters. Amen? But my pastor friends are so distraught with it. And I have to tell, I tell them what he told me. Don't entertain goats. You preach the truth. You love them. Go minister to your sheep. Because they're going to listen to what you're saying. They're desiring it. They're going to come back and say, "Man, you told me to get in the Word. I've been in it, and it has transformed. Oh, thank you." You know what a goat's going to say? "I just don't do good reading the Bible. Just not one of those kind. Don't know why things aren't getting better in my life." "You're not reading it all?" "No, you know, remember I told you, I don't understand it real good. Remember I told you about getting some CDs and listening to them. That's what happens. You just get one excuse after another, and what do? If you're not careful, they'll burn you out. They'll burn you up, they'll burn you out, they'll get you bitter. Be very careful when you're in the race to pray that God would give you the distinction to see people who are desiring growth, desiring the truth, desiring your resources and time. You know why? Because every time we have a person die, it reminds me that we only have a limited amount of time. We can't want it. We can't make someone do anything that they don't want to do. We can't put a passion in someone for Christ. You know what? It's not about us putting the passion, because if it was, every person in here would be so on fire for Christ, they'd be mad at me blowing up the phone that we didn't have a dinner every night of the week. Because that's the level of passion I'd put in all of you. And I'd go, "Listen, start one in your neighborhood. Do an outreach in your community. Start getting some people in your neighborhood and have a dinner." That's what you all know what I'm talking about? If we could all put that kind of passion in each other, that's the passion we would put in each other, wouldn't we? So that whenever one day you died, go, "Well, I know why they're dead. They wore themselves out. They spent every waking hour bananas for Christ, and they completely wore themselves out spiritually." No, they finished the race. They recognized that the time was short, that they only had a certain amount of time, and they seized that time. And they desired to want to be obedient. They didn't want to spend their time ministering to goats that are complete rebellious reprobate. No, they wanted to feed the sheep. They wanted to reach the goats with the gospel and watch them be transformed into sheep. But they weren't going to stay and throw their pearls to the what? The swine. Because what happens? They devour you. May the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You are my rock, my strong tower, my deliverer. God, I delight in you. Lord, I'm running this race for you. God, the armor is because of you. I want victory in my life. I know we're going to meet my brother in Christ. We're going to meet Mr. James. I could go through here and point in the pews where the ones that are in here, and I could even shut my eyes and point in the pews where the others sat that have gone on before us. There's been a lot of them. We're going to join them. Grant, how long will it be? It's all not too long. He's been there a year. Glory be to God. First Christmas in heaven. Praise Jesus. Amen. What a glorious thing. Grant, Mr. James, Jimmy, and all the others who've got, hey, their first Christmas in glory together. Do y'all not think that's awesome? I think that's pretty cool if you ask me. That's an exciting thing. You know, one day you might say that about me, or I'll say that about you, and I'm going to say, hey, Mr. James, Grant, and Jimmy, and whoever, they're spending their first Easter. They're spending their, think about that. And one by one, that list that's in my mind as I see you go on to be with the Lord, and Gwen's there with them. They're getting to spend a Christmas with Gwen. Gwen's not a newbie. Gwen's spending, what, her second or third Christmas with Jesus. What an awesome thing. See, there's no crown for righteousness for those who are not in the race. The third and final thing I want to share with you, the eternal removal of pain is only for Christians. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, I love this verse, y'all. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will no longer be their grief. Crying, pain will exist no longer. The old order of things will have passed away. I love that verse. I use that at every funeral because it is so powerful. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, concerning those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope. Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, in the same way God will bring with him those who've fallen asleep through Jesus. We say this to you by a revelation from the Lord. We who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly have no advantage over those who've fallen asleep, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the archangel's voice, and the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise. Then we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with our Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. In another few months, Eddie, I let him listen to a message from a pastor friend of ours. Huh? About that, brother. Y'all, I'm telling you, it's going to take me about 3 Sundays to preach this powerful. It's the most incredible message I've heard about what happens after you die. I'm going to tell you what, you'll take a spell and start running when you hear it. Either that or you'll get freaked out. It's powerful. Talked about Abraham's bosom, rich man, Lazarus. Rich man was carried to torment. Lazarus to Abraham's bosom. Powerful, powerful, powerful. But this is what we know. The eternal removal of pain is only for followers of Jesus Christ. Understand this. When John the Baptist said, repent or you likewise will perish, I know in our culture they'd have said, well, that is extremely arrogant of you, Mr. John the Baptist. That's not a gospel of love. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. That's straight from hell for somebody to say that. Do you know why? If you will read God's word, do you know what it mentions more than anything? What? Thank you. I wonder why. Why would hell be mentioned so much? By the way, stop calling it that. Separation from God is a deprivation or the absence of every good and perfect gift. I came to faith in Jesus Christ that I might be restored with the God that gives me hope, joy, peace, and love. That's why I came to faith in Jesus Christ. I did not desire to be separated from him any longer. When you and I die, we are going to be given a glorified body that, listen, feels perfectly. It doesn't die, it never gets old, and it will be an everlasting body. So, if you're in heaven, that's going to rock. It's going to be awesome. You're going to feel, you're going to be in a state that you and I cannot begin to imagine. But friends, listen what I'm going to tell you. If you spend your eternity separated from God, let me just help you understand to the greatest degree I can so that you will gain a passion for sharing with your friends the understanding of what a true separation from God means. That means you will be in a place that is separated from every good and perfect gift. And I will start out with telling you that oxygen that you're breathing right now is a good and perfect gift. Water is a good and perfect gift. Peace is a good and perfect gift. Joy is a good and perfect gift. Hope is a good and perfect gift. I just got started. The place that a person enters apart from the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and his righteousness atoning for our sin is to be in a place devoid of every good and perfect gift, but in a body that cannot die. Imagine breathing with no oxygen, complete and utter separation of a nice temperature. What is it? Heat, it's fire, and it's complete black darkness. Can you imagine? Anybody in here ever gotten too close to a fire and breathed some of it in and burnt your throat? I know what it's like. I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine what the sheer feeling in a, remember this, in a glorified body, the feeling of choking, not being able to breathe, but yet you can't die. It is a horror that I cannot begin to imagine. I'm only saying this to compel you, not to scare you into going, uh-oh, I better get saved again. No, I'm saying this so that you and I might gain a greater passion for sharing Christ with people and getting up and going and doing what God has commanded us to do. Because the time is short to live to your children, to drag them out on Wednesdays, Sunday mornings, Sunday night, and every other time you have an opportunity to, and place in their bottoms in this church along with yourself so that you can be a part of encouraging them and showing them something that will last, something that's real, not this flim-flam outside of these walls. Not the inconsistency that's all over outside these walls with what? Good-meaning Christians that, well, I'm just a little tired. So glad Jesus didn't get tired. I'm so glad he's faithful. And it's not about legalism. It's not about showing up here so God's going to love you more. Please understand what I'm talking about. I'm talking about don't sit in my office 20 years from now after your kids say, hey, man, my parents only went hit or miss 3 or 4 weeks out of the year. That's good for me. And then all of a sudden you grasp what you need to be doing, so you all of a sudden get serious about it, and your kids say, go take a flying leap. We never did that growing up. They're going to do what you did then. You want to train up a child the way they should go. Why? Because the promise, when you're old, they won't depart from it. When they're old, they're not going to depart from it. You don't have that promise, though, if you don't. You can pray that God forgives you, that God allows you to regain what the moths and rust have destroyed. But we don't have the promise at that point. Tonight, do your spiritual insurance policy. Encourage your children, your husband, your wife tonight to invest in a spiritual insurance policy. What is that? Get bananas for Jesus, because it matters. It matters. Church, how many people in your heart has God laid on your heart during this message? How many of you right now would go, you know, I want to be that way. I want to, you know what, my pace, I'll be honest with you, if you're honest with yourself, you go, my pace has been pretty doggone sorry spiritually. I wouldn't even call what I'm doing. You ever seen those people at the mall that do this? They call it running. I'm serious. They do it just like that. It's kind of an exaggerated walk like that. Nobody, y'all never seen that? Y'all don't need to get out some more. But they do that, and I've always gone, what are they trying to do? Maybe they're just trying to get their muscles moving, but they're going nowhere fast. You know what I'm saying? Are y'all with me tracking? Are y'all falling asleep? I can start over if we miss something. Don't spiritually be doing that. When you run, with perseverance, when you run with passion, and you run with persistence, that is the hallmark of a follower of Christ, that God is teaching the number of their days so that what? We might gain a heart of wisdom to use our time, our talents, and our resources effectively for God's kingdom in a very concerted way, walking through the doors only that God opens like that back there. Don't you dare walk through a door like this, church. No. Our God is not a God of confusion, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. When God opens those doors, or just like those two doors back there, there's undeniable proof that God's answered those doors. When you do that, you have a consistent, a perfect understanding of where he wants you, because you know when those doors are shut, he does not want you to go. So what do? You stand there until either God opens them or God sends you in another direction. Amen? But if you and I so foolishly buy into the world's lies or one of these doggone sugar daddy preachers that says, you got to make it happen. No. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into what? Your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Don't let some smooth-talking snake oil salesman that sends you a box of dirt, he says it's from Israel because it's blessed. Don't listen to that stuff, church. Get in God's word. You don't need some special person that charged you $1,000 to start praying for you, because you've got a straight gateway to the Lord. And guess what? I'll pray for you and I won't charge you nothing. Amen? That is what really matters. That's what's real. That's what's tangible. And that's what's in line with God's word. Don't start going after somebody because you think that they're so much more spiritual than somebody else, because the next thing you know, you're going to be standing there with an empty wallet going, what in the world happened to me? You got took. There is no one on this planet that has a more direct line to you or I. We go through the Holy Spirit of God, hey, directly through Jesus Christ, the continual, eternal high priest, our Lord, our Savior, our King. Amen? And you and I both have the same direct line. Guess what? We got a brother in Christ just graduated today. Amen? He is in the presence of the Lord. My question is, who's next? Somebody just got nervous in here. But somebody is. If it's me, praise God, glory, hallelujah. If it's you, praise God, glory, hallelujah. But if you'd say tonight, you know what, I don't want to be next. That makes me nervous thinking about that. I would challenge you during this altar call tonight, this invitation, to come down here and find out what's making you so nervous. Because it shouldn't. Your desire should be to depart, not before you're supposed to go. But if it's God's time for you to go, you should look forward to that with a passion of going home to be with the Lord. Because the old order of things will have passed away and all things will be new. Let's pray. Father,
thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life. First, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.